Welcome to episode 117 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. We also have John with us tonight. And in tonight's episode, we're going to drink three beers from Landmade Farm Brewery in Montgomery County, Maryland.
And interesting, quick trivia tidbit on that. The way I heard of Landmade in Poolsville/Bealsville, Maryland, is from our guest, Mr. John Dean. So thank you for the introduction to this.
Whoa!
Oh no! You're messing up my pristine kitchen. And you also have to put your phone on mute.
All right, the first beer from Landmade is called Grove.
So this beer, we got three beer selections in the bottle.
This is a grisette style beer.
Oh, I love a good grisette.
Let's talk about the bottle for a moment here. Okay. This is not just a beer bottle.
No, it's got a nice shape to it.
Yeah,
it's like a half size wine bottle.
Right, yeah. It looks like a good old Chardonnay bottle or a cognac bottle.
It's been
maybe
shrunk a little bit.
And it has a very nice piece of artwork with no advertising on it that looks like a fine meadow.
Light,
it looks
strong,
like a nice
color.
Bob Vila?
No,
nope, not Bob Vila. Come on.
Bob Ross?
Bob Ross. Wait.
Bob.
Yeah, it's a nice Bob Ross, Happy Clouds. Looks like one of those gas paintings.
Color is a very hazy, very light straw color. Medium light straw color, I'd say. Yours is hazy. They're all hazy. The head kind of dropped off pretty quickly after it kind of popped out of the initial bottle. On the nose,
I captured a little bit of sour. And it was a nice
sour funk.
Nice, tight, white bubbles on the head. And they did say
that. But it fell pretty quickly. Mine did anyway.
These are all supposedly farm style ales.
What's interesting to me, I mean, I've been to Landmade a couple of times. Ooh. Excellent brewery. The beer, at least the bottle here that we have, from a marketing perspective, it's unusual to their brand. It doesn't look like their other beers. In terms of the label or anything.
Right. I saw their cans and those
big, very different. They just have like the big name of their cans.
This is way more mellow, a little bit like Farmstead Ale or maybe Maine Brewing Company. Ooh, that's got a funk smell, huh?
A little funky on the nose.
It's champagne-y.
Oh, it's not funky in the taste at all. If there's any tart, it's like super subtle. This is more like a nice, it's a grisette. It's like a perfect grisette.
I'm not sure I know what a grisette is exactly.
I
have the material that we'll find out.
It's kind of like a saison, but a little less funky.
It's this is only a 4% beer.
Right, they're easy drinking.
Brewed with Rabbit Hill malt and aged hops.
And a lot of the ingredients that this brewery was using, they grew.
Yeah.
Well, and their food also was locally sourced, grown.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the brewery experience right after the beer.
Are you telling me to stop?
No.
I can tell.
I'm trying to keep you on.
Like, not yet.
Landmade is a family-run farm brewery in Montgomery County, Maryland. We occupy 33 acres of grounds, including a former cattle stable that is home to our brewery, tasting room, and general store.
Smells like it.
Along with several outdoor spaces for our guests to join. Yeah, cool place. So now we can talk about the place.
Oh, now I can talk about it. I have nothing left to say.
Cool barn space. Lots of outdoor space around it with tables and
nice chairs.
Umbrellas, like lounging tables.
They had an enclosed area
space,
that was a little air-conditioned-y.
Soft enclosed space.
Not so buggy.
Space. One thing that I thought was unique is they have their fermenting vessels that they actually have taps right out of, like right out of the fermenting glasses, vessels to your glass. Not for this beer, but for their kind of regular rotation beers.
When we get to our recent beer experiences, I was going to bring that up, but you've jumped ahead. I'm not sure how to play this.
You can't get any more fresh than that, as far as I'm concerned.
No, yeah. and it's chilled too, and so are the lines, so it comes out. The beer purveyors,
Ciceronis,
the Ciceronis were saying that this is a rarity, not only locally but nationally.
The beer from the
yeah, to go fermenter. Straight from the fermenting bins.
I hope there were some people there because it's a couple times I've been there. It's a great resource. I love it. Poolsville out in the country.
Right. Yeah.
It's a beautiful area, nice open space out in the agricultural preserve.
Yes.
An important part of Montgomery County here in suburban Washington. And yeah, it's just a great spot.
It was convenient to pick up children from their sports practice.
Yes. In fact,
that's on their logo. Come here, get drunk, and pick up your kids from school.
I know. I think it's their slogan.
My wife and I actually went to dinner last night in Poolsville at a restaurant, but we talked about the next time we do a similar experience. We want to go to Landmate together.
Did you go prior to the game?
Yes, yes.
And they have food, too. They have on-site food made with, you said that, right, with local...
Yes, they had, like, pickled... We had green onions, cauliflower.
Charcuterie plate.
Yeah, and even their jerky was made locally. From the cows that probably lived in there before they kicked them out.
Or the rabbits.
The brewery.
All their beer is brewed and fermented on the farm. We make our beers using the most local ingredients we can get our hands on, including peaches and apples from the farm's orchard and herbs and natural yeast from the property's gardens.
I am excited. One of the samplings we're going to have this evening is a fusion beverage between a cider and a beer.
Oh, right.
That probably makes use of some of those fruity things you were just talking about.
They put their spin on ales and lagers with an emphasis on farmhouse and mixed culture fermentation. They have a full culinary program that is true to farm to table and that is ever changing with the seasons. We care deeply about making and sharing delicious, exciting beer and food that is made from the land, hence land made. And their actual saying is stay grounded.
Stay grounded. That's a good one. I did make a comment when we were in their gift store to Chris that I did questions like, when did hipsters become grandmothers? Because they had all this like artisanal honey and...
They have a little general store next to the
matches
the brewing bar.
Very, very cool things that are like, oh, I'd steal that idea, you know, but I did also things like this kind of like grandma-y thing, but I think it would appeal to that, you know, millennial hipstery kind of vibe.
And back to the beer, I mean, this is quite good.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's not too tart, it's not sour, it's not...
No, it's easy drink, like super easy drinking.
But it gave me that smell. I thought we were going to have one of those like funky Weisses or...
No, it's got a little like Christmas in your mouth. Grove is a Grisette-style farm beer brewed with New Jersey-grown barley and wheat from our friends at Rabbit Hill Malt, and hopped with both aged and fresh hops. I don't know if I've heard of aged hops. Grove rested overnight in our copper cool ship to pick up wild microflora before being fermented in combination with our house mix culture and aged in oak. This unique farm beer is a collaboration with the very talented folks at Rocklands Winery and will be the first of quite a few releases from this brew day. Grove is a hop-forward farm beer that is bursting with flavor. It portrays a light-bodied and subtle... It portrays as light-bodied and subtle while being full and complex. Drink fresh or age indefinitely. Age indefinitely.
We should get a second bottle. I'll go get another bottle, Chris, and I'll save it for our 20-year anniversary.
There you go.
Do I have more of this?
I'll take a little splash. Sure.
I think it's delicious. I like the opaqueness of it. It's definitely a good farmhouse.
It's just a little different.
Ale.
So one of the things I told Mike when I came out here to Maryland, he's like, well, where do you want to go? I want to go to some farm breweries. Because like in we don't really have farm breweries in Colorado. We've got like tons of breweries and like warehouses and stuff like that in downtown. And we've got and mountain towns,
yeah.
But like the farm brewery isn't really a thing out there. I don't know if we have farms. We have like cattle raising,
ranches,
got
stuff.
Ranches,
yeah. Yeah. Not like growing crops. Well, I guess they grow like peaches and stuff on the western slope, but
wheat.
Yeah,
this could be an opportunity for you though.
Yeah,
this could be. You know,
I wonder if it's like a licensing and taxation and zoning thing, because they popped up like crazy when, like, at one point. Didn't you say turn off your phone?
I think one part of the Landmaid story, I'm sure, probably part of its origination or its success is due to the agricultural preserve, and I'm sure there's some sort of tax credit or something to keeping this as a
keep it open kind
of
land.
An agritourism type of operation.
Yeah. I remember the first one I think I went to was Monocacy, or no, Wiradjuri.
Yes.
And Monocacy, or is Monocacy one too?
I don't know. Wiradjuri, I know Wiradjuri.
There's the Red Shedman.
Opened a long time ago.
And there's
we
the
had
Red Shedman
when I was still out here, but I don't know if I've been there. Wiradjuri opened quite a while ago, like before I moved, and that was 6 years ago, so.
That's a really great place,
That's the first one I remember. That one was cool. And we went to another one for our beer experiences, which we're talking about. We went to another one, Elder Pine, which is, I guess, not so much farmland, but they have, it's called Elder Pine because they have these big pine trees, like big for the East Coast because everything was like cut down on the East Coast, right? There's no
Oh, did you take that picture of looking up at the pines?
No, I should have.
That was kind
of
cool.
But that's a cool place too. Lots of different outdoor space. They have like space in the woods. They have a space kind of like out in the sun outside, a couple spaces indoor, one on a patio, one inside with a big bar. That place was super cool too.
Again, it's you're right. It is an outdoor, again, sort of out in the country spot, but it does have a different vibe than Landmaid. It's outdoors, but perhaps not quite as farmy.
Yeah.
It's awesome. This is good beer. I'm really, as somebody who, you know, my taste, I'll admit it, a little more pedestrian perhaps than many of you and your listeners. But this is, you know, a little something unusual, different for me, and I really like it.
Good.
I would not describe your taste preference as pedestrian. You just tend to go away
from the
bitterness.
Which beer did you buy because we knew John was coming over?
The Kolsch and the... What did I buy?
Today.
Oh, the one did we put that in the fridge?
Yeah, I did.
I got some Mexican cerveza beer from Elder Pine. Because...
Hey, listen, you know, it's a specific taste.
Yes.
It's a style.
Yes.
But brewed, a craft brewery.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right. So and
but we were also talking about how, like, Mexican lagers is, like, a thing at craft breweries now.
Just, like we tasted one everywhere. From Clown Shoes, and we got the one from Elder Pine, and we tried
another
one.
They're good. All right, any other thoughts about the Grove beer here? The Grove from Grove. It's just called Grove.
Do they call it Grove because like it's a reference to Cedar Grove? Like, this is from the Grove?
It's probably a grove like there on a farm. There's lots of groves.
Nice.
Of trees and whatever not.
Do you know what isn't in Cedar Grove?
What?
One single cedar tree. And the entire thing calls Cedar
Grove. Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Why don't you grab the next beer, Mike?
I can grab the next beer, Chris.
Grab the one that's 6%, I believe.
That's which percent?
6%. All right, we've got another beer from Landmaid Farm Brewery. What's this one called?
Spring.
Spring 23.
Spring 23.
Spring 23. It's like a vintage year.
I guess it implies we should have more springs and keep them for multiple years.
It's a farm beer. What's interesting is that this is actually numbered, I think. It's bottle number 118.
Oh
man,
goodness.
We're just cracking it right open. 113, man.
I'm going to have to go back and get...
Or maybe bottle 18.
Get these again.
Or bottle 8. Might be bottle 18.
Oak-aged farm beer.
Is it you can't read it because it's too small of print? Or is it because you don't understand their algorithm?
It could be a handwriting issue as well as sort of a print. I think it's 18.
There you go. Correct that.
I'm also old.
All right. Here, I'm going to pass this to John to open. And I've got a solution for your problem, John. I just got one of these in the mail.
Which problem was that?
Reading the bottle. Reading the label.
I don't know, I saw he went to his pills drawer.
Gosh darn it.
So this one is not like foaming over like the first one.
Here it is.
Oh, look at that. He's got a magnifying glass.
Because I can't read the freaking pill bottles I have to take because I'm old.
This is a hefty magnifying glass.
Yes, and if I put batteries in it, the LED light would work too.
I think it's bottle 18, so this is like, you know.
This bottle is legal enough to get drafted.
Sort of hot off the presses, I think.
Yeah.
Well, so, we were getting beer straight out of the conditioning tanks.
Pour is a very similar color to the last one, maybe a little bit darker.
It's a little bit more on the orange gold side.
That same white puffy head. John's fell away pretty quickly. I built mine up a little bit more.
So yeah, the head, it's a tight white boa, but it does dissipate a bit quick.
It's a little more, I'd say, acidic.
Ooh, I don't get the hint of funk so much on this one.
I smell like a tart.
I don't smell it.
I smell a tart coming and a little bit of a sweet, but let's see.
I smell literally nothing, which could be the COVID.
It's COVID. Neither of you.
This one's.
I'm getting a tart. Is
100% Maryland
beer. Are you not smelling it on that?
Same beer as the
sweet. I know, but I mean, I don't know if it's just.
I get it a little bit, not a ton.
I'm getting tart.
Oh, woo! Some tart.
Oh, I'm definitely tasting tart.
It's like grapefruit and.
Woof. That's what I thought. The other one might. This definitely has got some funkiness going on in it.
So this is aged in oak barrels.
Wasn't the Grisette also aged in oak barrels? Because that Grisette was mellow, and it had crispiness, but not like this. This has a little bit of that.
This has got a little crunch to it. Almost.
Yeah, this has got tang.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of yeast infection, maybe. Something's going off there. You're not getting it?
No, I get this. I get the.
Do you both have COVID?
He's got it. Sour. He's just trying to determine if he likes it.
See if exactly if I like it or what is that? What other flavors are in there?
So, it's effervescent. It's like a farmhouse. It's like a hell farmstead.
It's getting easier as you go.
It warms up nicely. And it's a lot more effervescent than I would have expected the way the head dissipated.
Spring 23 is a seasonal farm beer blend of beers brewed with 100% Maryland-grown ingredients. This blend includes farm beer fermented with our house mixed culture and cool-shipped spontaneous beer. Our seasonal blends are a portrayal of time, place, and patience. With each beer having aged in oak for more than 12 months prior to blending. The results are always unique to the specific blend and continuously evolving beer. Spring 23 is a complex, tart, and effervescent farm beer, perfect for the springtime weather. Drink fresh or age indefinitely.
So it's
now your light's striking it with your wand there.
It's working, and it says Spring 23. But the year that this was made was 2022.
Yeah, did you just hear what I said?
No, I wasn't listening.
Aged in like oak barrels for 12 months prior to blending.
Oh, I see. Well, see, just like school.
And this is bottle number 18.
It is bottle number 18.
I feel like, you know, like buying like a limited edition record or book or something here.
Yeah, yeah. We're just drinking it.
Well, we're drinking this one and we're recording the experience. I'm going to run up there and get another bottle and I'm going to save it for a couple of years. And 5 years from now, assuming I'm still alive, I'm sure you two will be.
When I come back in a few years for your funeral.
Yes, just grab it. It'll be in the garage refrigerator. Hopefully the power stayed on and it didn't get skunked. We are morbidly.
Yes, I'm in
thinking
town,
about starting a death pool
in town for a funeral. Unfortunately, so we've been thinking about that type of stuff.
We've been lucky; our core group hasn't been impacted. Our periphery, but our periphery is shrinking, and we're pretty sure the next one to go is going to be somebody that we're a little closer to. Oh boy!
So yeah, I mean, I personally, I'm not a huge fan of this beer. Not certainly as much as the previous one from Landmade, but it's a little different, certainly. It's kind of juicy.
I'm coming around on the whole funky farmhouse sour beers, but this one's in that world is more in the middle of the bell curve. and it's palatable. It's not overpowering.
Have you been to Elder Pine too?
I have. It's been a while, but yes, I have.
Yeah, yeah. So one interesting thing about Elder Pine.
Speaking of recent beer experiences.
Yeah, is there's another brewery in Denver called True that is does kind of like funky farm.
I want to do one of those like air sound. Controversy, controversy.
Yes, yes. and they play heavy metal music.
Death metal,
they have like interesting looking bottles and can style that's like dark with a little picture on the can.
Are we talking about True Brewery?
Or Elder Pine, because they have the same thing going on.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... See, I don't pay much attention to which brewery you're talking about.
Or what I'm talking about.
Sometimes.
While we're recording a podcast where we interact with each other.
I know, anyway, but we haven't been doing this a decade, honey.
These two breweries, Elder Pine and True, have very similar themes. The heavy metal music, the styles of beer, the way their bottles look, and even the logo.
The branding.
The branding. They both have scythes under the logo.
Or Siths.
Is it Siths?
I don't know. It can be either one. That's what
it's just that Elder Pine also has a rake, an old-timey rake.
Yes, and that was their qualifier, how theirs was different.
Are you insinuating that perhaps there's some sort of...
One absolutely, yes. 100%.
One copied
yes.
off the other.
There's
I don't know who did who. But when I go back to Denver, I'll ask the True guys if they copied or...
Now, full disclosure, we've been pre-gaming a lot today, so there could be a little bit of conspiracy theory that's fueled by our pre-gaming. However, that said, no, there's a lot of commonalities. And the bartender did inform us that the master brewer loved that place and has visited multiple times.
Yeah,
maybe it's a collaboration. Maybe it's a
friendly. Well, that's what I was asking. Is like, is there are you guys like known together or the same ownership or something like that? Which would be very odd.
And we did recently go to this True Brewery within the last 2 months.
Yeah,
right?
When you were there.
So I have recent photographic evidence, which we used comparatively to look label to label as we looked at their beer fridge. And the pictures we had of the True beer fridge.
Maybe we'll show, we'll put some pictures on facebook.com/CNBC podcast, then you be the judge.
And the TikTokery.
Do we have I do like the Elder Pine, their branding and marketing. I think it's very,
yeah.
Very,
with that elegant.
Do they always have the heavy metal thing going on in there?
I don't recall that. And I've been there before. I don't remember them playing that music. That could have just been the bartender.
It didn't really
shows.
Fit. I'll say that.
It's a little unusual, yeah.
Yeah, because it's very country.
Yeah,
very,
it's very chill.
And then you have your food trucks. Everything's open. It's not like...
That place is super cool, too. I really like that pine area. Like,
yeah.
Deep in those pines, and they're, like, making noise above us as they're blowing in the wind. Yeah.
It, no, it's very... Again, another...
But you couldn't hear it because you're old.
I couldn't.
Older than me.
I couldn't. He's like, do you hear the trees? I'm like, nope. Just hear my tinnitus ringing in my ears. But I'm with you, like, at the True Brewery, it's, like, industrial, it's inside, and, you know, it's all black light, and it's, you know, so you come in, and it's, like, you know, really loud death metal music. Okay, I can see that.
It kind of fits, yeah.
Yeah, but then Elder Pines, like, these big wood casks, it's got almost, like, a vineyard just open.
You're in the country, yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm at Napa Valley. And then it's like... I'm like, no, that doesn't quite make sense. So we're at to get the bottom of this research. But I do remember going to Elder Pine with you and Mr. Atkins very soon after my original separation and or... I'm not sure if it was a divorce or separation. But like Elder Pine had just opened then. And I was trying to tell them, but they must have had a different brewer or something because the beer wasn't the same kind of style and quality that it is now, or maybe they found their
They
brew.
Had 18 different beers on draft. I mean, it was different stuff. They had like a barrel-aged English-style porter. They had a Nitro ESB from like...
At the beginning, and I don't know if it's still the case, but it seemed like they were doing a lot of, and I don't understand this term or this style, but like mixtures, is that correct? Like
they
were doing a lot of
blends.
That.
Yeah,
blends. Before, I don't know if they're still doing that now. But
I saw a couple. The cool thing was I saw a couple like what is it? The Maryland whiskey Sagamore rye. I think I had some of that before. They had some of their barrels that they were
aging
the beer in.
Yeah, I saw some tequila barrels as well.
We had one of the beers that we had was the English style porter
that was aged in rum
barrels. Yeah,
that had a really sweet finish. Yep.
But they had like hazy IPAs. They had like almost like every weird style you could think of, sours.
Well, they had a Japanese rice lager. It was a very good experience. All the beers actually had
the Landmade. They had like what, 10 beers on draft? 10 beers like ready to pour.
They had a Molly.
We got
four. A Lily.
Three or something like that. 11 maybe. They all had very simple names like Lily and Ewing and Julie, like people names.
I've had some of those. They had like a good Czech lager in the past. It was
very nice. The Czech pale lager, we had that. We had the Czech dark lager. We had the Italian pills. We had a Rauschbier. So they had a lot of kind of like...
Yeah, they had some
fairly
smoky beers.
Like, a lot of like lager style beers or Czech style beers, like continental Europe style beers.
And I would definitely say...
A couple pale ales too.
That it leaned more European at that... What's it called? Landmade?
Landmade.
Landmade definitely was very European.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to remember. Maybe I should say... Remind me, I have a story to tell on a third beer.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to forget.
Any other thoughts on this guy?
I think as the summer goes, this beer would be more enjoyable. It's the kind of beer that you would want to break through that dustiness like on a hot day like today. Like it was a little bit muggy.
I think sometimes sour beers can be really good on a hot day, which seems kind of weird. Like, that maybe that shouldn't go together.
No.
But it's like lemonade.
Shandies.
Right? Yeah.
You don't want a shandy in the winter when you're freezing your ass off.
Yeah.
You want like a heavy stout with the cherries and the mulls and the spices. But in the summer, you want that citrusy, effervescent. And it doesn't feel as chewy or
it's
thick
little,
as some IPAs.
A little bile-y.
Definitely, yeah.
You're getting bile?
A little acid.
I would have a hard time drinking more than like one of these glasses of this, to be honest.
All right. Yeah, I could do a nice 6 ounce pour. I don't think I could do a pint.
This is a good sharer.
Yes.
And these are all, so we talked about the shape of the bottles earlier. This is a big one. This is a 500 milliliter bottle. The first was, what, maybe a 300 milliliter or something?
I would have preferred if they were reversed.
Does it say 500 also? They both say 500.
One is significantly larger than the other. The one we're
That's
drinking
funny.
Now
they
is,
just use the same like base sticker
as a regular wine bottle
size
and shape.
750.
This
we'll
looks
see
like...
What the, we'll see what the next bottle says. It's the big
I
size.
Would have preferred the Grisette in this size bottle.
Is that one or the other?
And this, I think the size, like that would have been better because they're...
Yeah, because we emptied that Grisette. That's
and I think everybody wanted more of the Grisette. I, on the other hand, will finish this... Because I can tell you guys don't want
to. I don't know that I'll finish.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking but maybe while it warms up tomorrow morning, I will have it for breakfast.
I was going to say, it's kind of like a grapefruit juice in the morning. Little,
you know, when you wake up and you feel like the cat shit in your mouth, and you're like, before I brush my teeth, let me get some of that warmed up farm ale that I left on the kitchen table.
Yeah.
So let's talk about other recent beer experiences. I don't want to date this too much, but last week I went to the Bruce Springsteen concert.
Oh my gosh.
And what was the beer experience there?
Well, I think I maybe had sent this around in our group chat situation, but I had a tall boy, Budweiser, and the reason for that was basically a political statement because I was standing in solidarity with my brothers and sisters with Anheuser-Busch in their current fight over the whole woke situation.
What's their fight?
And of course, now I read in the news today that perhaps they have caved, so now I got to go back to not drinking Anheuser-Busch. it's just outrageous and ridiculous that I have to drink like a can of Budweiser in order to state a
political.
Yes. So that was my recent beer experience.
What are they woke towards? Which topic now?
They got into trouble in certain conservative circles because they had some. Sort of trans activist or some outreach to that community that a number of conservative people found very offensive and they were going around destroying cases of Bud Light. And
did they buy the Bud Light first?
They had, yes.
Which and is, then they destroyed it?
Yes.
I'm sure
yes.
Anheuser-Busch was okay with it. It's like, this is marketing. I will get people buying the solidarity.
Spike up sales. Look, it's the end of the quarter, guys. We've got to find a way to spike up sales.
Yeah. It's like that ALS ice bucket challenge. Like, yes. Conservative, buy as much Budweiser as you can and find out interesting ways to blow it up. Liberals, in solidarity support, spend $22 on a single tall boy at a concert. And by the way, how much was a single tall boy at the concert?
It was, it certainly was expensive, but maybe not as much as I thought it might be. It was like $13 or something.
That's not bad. For a venue?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's anything over 12 ounces, that's not a terrible price.
All right, shall we grab the next beer in tonight's three-beer flight?
Absolute moment. My pleasure. This is the one on initial read of the three.
Yeah, this looks fun.
The Grisette was enticing, but this one I wanted to give a shot. And it's also another big bottle for us.
This one's called Flourish. Is that how you say that word? Or Flourish.
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 Oh, yeah. This is a bumblebee.
All of these labels are very similar.
They're like watercolor art on one side.
Got some head popping out.
And then the other side is a very, very plain and simple informative label.
The larger bottles are 750s, by the way, because this has the right, the correct size sticker.
And it's the same bottle,
right?
Yes. It's just, it looks a little darker inside the bottle and outside the bottle.
So this is a farm beer blended with wild cider and conditioned on a farm foraged chamomile, yarrow, goldenrod, and elderberry. Holy moly, that's a lot going on here. This one pours a notably darker, dark straw color versus
medium straw color. Rosy pink.
It's sort of gold wheat.
Yeah, a little more gold wheat color.
You don't see the red.
There's some hints of red in there.
Oh,
especially at the wider parts.
Yeah, hold on a second. Yeah, look, compared to that, there's like hints of rose and red.
It's definitely way darker than the previous beer. The head kind of falls away pretty quickly. Again.
No.
Oh, I'm getting a tart. You're not getting. You didn't get the last two times. Man, maybe you both guys have COVID. I'm definitely getting a tart, and this one has more of a fruity bouquet underneath the tart.
It's sweet when you taste it.
Is it sweet or does it smell like it's sweet?
It just tastes sweet.
It smells like it's going to be sweet.
I don't catch too much on the nose.
Well, that's good. That's like a dry cider with a... What's the beer that they mix with it? I'm getting more cider than beer.
I get some cider. For sure.
It's very crisp.
This is something my wife might actually like. She doesn't drink beer, doesn't like beer.
No.
Like cider. So
This might be a little too bitter if you like cider.
Yeah.
It's dry.
I don't think it's that bitter. Is it bitter?
For a cider.
But dry ciders are like this.
Yes.
Does she like dry ciders or sweet ciders?
No, either one.
She doesn't discriminate.
I get a little hint, like you were talking about grapefruit earlier. This one definitely has kind of a pithy finish.
This is less quenchy, though. This is more apple juice.
It might have a little bit of that, I don't know if it's the chamomile, like a flowery flavor to it. There's a lot going on in the flavor, like a lot of different things.
It is complex.
It's hard to like
pick out different things. And they promised us that there would be some complexity to this one.
No, they were right. I mean, it's definitely...
See, but you're saying it's not as quenching?
Not as, like, tart.
Got it.
No, not as tart as the last one.
Sure. Like, this is more of a sipping tea, less of a get the funk out of your throat thing.
Could be. Flourish is the next progression of our farm beers, taking barrel-aged mixed culture farm beer... and blending it with barrel-aged wild cider to create something greater than its singular components. In the spring and summer of 2022, we took to the gardens fields and forests of land made to pick herbs and botanicals for some special projects. Post-foraging, we conditioned the beer cider blend on a mixture of botanicals for a short time until all of the components melded perfectly. We find this to be a unique beverage with flavors that blur the lines of beer, cider, and cocktail. Flourish was bottle conditioned until spritzy and cellared until the appropriate time. So this one, indifference to the others, does not say drink fresh or aged indefinitely. It's the appropriate time to drink this, I guess.
And it's bottle number 44.
Wow. Which is a low number of bottles.
We are bottle early, numbers, early adapters here.
Yes.
This place is pretty small. Even the size of the fermentation vessels, they're not like gigantic.
No.
Do they, do you see their stuff in
bottles? I have never seen it
beer stores or anything? Yeah.
No.
I've bought, six packs there.
There, yeah.
Or four packs or whatever.
They have stuff to go there, yeah.
They definitely were not as busy as Elder Pine, but I think their location, it's not as easy. There's not as much through traffic going that way.
It's definitely out there a bit. I mean, Poolsville's getting pretty far.
It's not as centrally located in the county, right? Like, you're hitting the river if you go much farther west.
Correct, but I do think what they could benefit from is if they advertise the people driving home on River Road up to Fredneck, because a lot of people do go up 28.
That route?
Yeah.
It's just a short hop off of 28. So I think if people figure out that they're there and word of mouth spreads, they could get some, like...
But they have a ton of space.
Especially on Fridays, on a day like today.
Have you been there on the weekends and seen crowd, like, is it crowded, or...?
I've only been there a couple of times, and I've gone kind of weird times.
Yeah. So we were... I mean, we weren't there on Friday afternoon. We were there Saturday afternoon, and it wasn't that crowded. No, we were there on a Friday afternoon, and it wasn't that crowded yet.
No, but they did mention that there's three generations of things, and that the older generation folks host a venue where people will have weddings and things, and that the younger generation are the ones who own the brewery, but it's a family-owned area. So I don't know what the middle of if the older people have the venues and the younger people have the, I don't know, maybe the middle ones are the farmers?
Or, oh, man, if I could have got married at a farmhouse brewery, I definitely would have done that.
Yeah.
I'd have those back in the day.
Not at least...
I could end this one and get married again, I suppose.
I mean, that's a trend that we're seeing, Chris, but as discussed earlier, highly advise against it. So, news that was shared on our visit to this place, they're having a Kolsch tasting on June 16th.
So I'd be interested in that. I'm a big Kolsch fan. I think they're great.
I'm also interested because I wanted to buy the tasting glasses that they served our beers in, and they said, we don't sell those yet, but we will be selling them at the Kolsch tasting.
No, they're free with the tasting.
Well, that's true.
Well,
but you have to buy a ticket.
Kolsch.
It's complimentary with the getting a ticket to the Kolsch tasting.
And Mike would not pocket the...
I wanted to.
His integrity.
But I'm trying to deal with my impulse control.
So what was so special about the glasses?
They're just... they'd be cool. Because we didn't have enough clean ones.
They were tall, yeah. Kind of thin glasses. Just kind of cool looking glasses with their logo on it.
And for this, perfect.
Yeah.
Had I snagged three of them... We'd be drinking out.
So they had most of their beers on draft. These bottled beers, they did not have it on draft, but they'll give you the bottle and cork it for you, and then you can pour the beer on site as well from the bottles.
Oh, right. They'll uncork it for you.
Yeah.
Well, they'll cork it and then uncork it.
Well, no. The bottles were already capped. They would open it and let you drink
they'll
it on site.
It.
Yeah. I got it. Cork service. That's where you're going with
it.
Yeah. I was like, wait,
there's no
cork. Pour it out of the thing.
I don't know why I said cork. They would open the bottle for you and give it to you, and some glasses.
You could ask them nicely. Can I get a cork in this?
Yes. They may.
Do you
they,
have cork?
They
Are you
did.
Growing cork
they had corks on
those
matchstick holder things. They totally could have taken one of those.
The general store there.
In the general store. Yep. Could have popped one in there. It's very crafty in there.
It's a great place, really. I mean, I'd like to spend some more time out there.
They do pickling of,
all their vegetables.
Odd stuff. So, like, carrots, cauliflower, like I don't know
spring
what the
onions.
Spring onions were on our little charcuterie plate there.
Yeah.
Some honey, nuts.
They also
like cheeses, a couple different cheeses that were. Oh, we had the one beer that kind of
tasted like brie.
Tasted like the skin of brie cheese.
And then we had brie
and then
cheese.
We had brie cheese.
Do they have any animals out there? They need animals, I think, to be a
like walking about.
Yeah, like some horses. Or something.
They said they're more like pets.
So I did not notice any animals other than the canines brought by other guests. So they seem to be a little dog friendly there.
That's good.
Which, you know, if you got a dog, bring it along. Which you, when you're at your local places, you get to bring Loki out there. Although that one place we went to was pretty open. It wasn't exactly a farm, but it was more farm-like.
Which one?
And there would be Burmese dogs there. We got fried pickles.
It's not a snake.
I'm sorry, Bernese. Bernese dogs. But it was open on all four sides. I can't remember what the name of it was.
Which one? Which time? Which one? When you come, we go to so many breweries. I don't care.
Right. I cannot recall, so that's a bad...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Grist.
That sounds right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
A mill.
With the... they had... Yeah, yeah. There were a couple of Bernese Mountain Dogs in the bar because they don't, like, have any food. So
No, they serve food there, too.
No, from the truck out back. They have, like, a truck out back.
Is that where we got the food
from?
That's
how they... Yeah.
All right.
But they... yeah, that place is good. Big, big place.
That had a vibe similar to some of the ones
yes.
right here that are farmy.
That was in the suburbs, but it was still like in an industrial area in the suburbs.
For some reason, I picture in my head that it was not. It was in the suburbs? I guess
yeah.
So. It's close. All right. Fine. I'm wrong. But regardless. So,
I'm going to start a farm brewery in Colorado.
Ranch brewery. Yeah.
If we rewind the tape,
ranch
that was
brewery,
Mr.
Yeah.
Dean's advice.
You could have like branding.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
I will take a burn on my right arm if you get a brand made.
Branded Ass Brewing Company.
Branded Ass. I'll put it right on there.
And that could be a donkey on the logo.
Yeah.
Like
Keep doing a little kick and a minor.
And don't forget your scythe or Sith, depending on how you pronounce that. And make sure you play death metal there.
Or scythe.
So the three beers we've had, I think this is my second favorite.
And your first favorite?
It was the first one we had.
So the three beers were called Grove. That was the Grisette. Spring 23, that was the barrel-aged farm beer. And Flourish, which was the blend of beer and cider. John's favorite was Grove and then Flourish. What about you, Mike?
I liked, I was most excited about Flourish, and I thought of the three, that would be my favorite, but it turns out I actually liked the Grisette the best. I liked Spring second best and Flourish third, but they were all pretty close.
I think...
1A, 1B.
I think Flourish was my favorite. I'm still, like, tasting new and interesting flavors from that. But Grove was really good too. Spring 23 was decent, but like I said, one glass was interesting, fun to drink, and I don't know if I would go back. But I'll pour a little more Flourish in my glass.
Yeah, and the Grisette was like perfect. I don't know. I disagree. I like the Spring 23. I would go back for that. I'm curious to see how it warms up. Just like I'm curious on this Flourish, which I'm having. So, and they all are worth it. It was a good experience.
Great job, Landmade Brewing. Let's end this episode, Mike.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for listening to episode 117 on CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer.
Did you lose your lines? Because that was off script.
Okay. Thanks for listening to CNBC episode 117. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.com.
We're on other feeds too, like Spotify and whatever the Google one is and lots of other ones. You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. We're on facebook.com/cnbcpodcast, youtube.com/cnbcpodcast, @cnbcpodcast on Twitter.
And do we have the Pinterest page?
What about the AOL channel?
Do we have the Tumblr?
Goodness. We have the Grindr.
Do we have the... Ew.
Oh, I have the Grindr.
Do we have the Tickus Talkish?
Find me on that.
So, Podcatcher. We're on all the Podcatchers. All the Googles, the Apples.
Yes, we're on... I don't know. We're on up some of them.
Podomatic.
Our thing takes care of it.
It does. It automatically distributes.
To your millions of listeners.
We got hundreds.
I was looking at the stats. We had like 1,200 downloads over the past month.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
1,200?
We'll save this for the next episode because I have countries where people download it from that are kind of interesting.
Yeah, that might be my VPN.
From Ghana?
Oh, no. There legit is somebody in Africa that listens to our thing, man. So, I'll take us out with a wonderful quote, perhaps?
Yes.
All right. You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
That was a quote from Tom Judd.
That's from Founders Brewing Breakfast Stout. Oh, did he say that? Oh, shit. Well, there you go.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. This was fun.
Future guest on the show, too. Welcome to episode...
Wait.
Oh, damn it.
You gotta wait till you get the action.
Start again.
What's the music? Ready?
Action.
Yep.
I can't dance with you cucks. I can't dance with you cucks looking at me.
What?
It's from the movie last night. Wait, so you did call. I'm fine, man. How are you?